you were in Sunday school this morning, you looked at the story of the Tower of Babel. In our history, people have made a name for themselves. When I say a name like Martin Luther King, an image comes to mind. When I say a name like Joseph Stalin, a very different image comes to mind. People have made a name for themselves. As I was studying your Sunday school lesson, I noticed something about the story of the Tower of Babel. Let's take a look at it. Genesis chapter 11. At one time, the whole earth had the same language and vocabulary. As people migrated from the east, they found a valley in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to each other, "Come, let us make oven-fried bricks." They had brick for stone and asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the sky. Let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered over the face of the whole earth." Can you see the goal? We're going to move on. Well, the Lord came down to look over the city and the tower that the men were building. And the Lord said, "If as one people, all having the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them from over, the Lord scattered them from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city, and therefore its name is called Babel. For there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, show us how to have a name of blessing, a name that people will think on as glorifying you. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to build a city to make a name for ourselves. How many people have been out to make a name for themselves and it kind of backfires? If we learn anything from history, it's that we learn nothing from history. People who are out to make a name for themselves tend to fail. God gave them a name, Babel. It was a name of shame. Now, interestingly, in the Assyrian language, Babel means gate of God. But in Hebrew, it means mixed up or mixed together or confused. What did they want to do? They wanted to build a tower, the gate of God. So here's how you get to God. You use our tower. You use our way. Now we have made a name for ourselves. And by your own works and effort of climbing the tower, you'll get to God. What's the message? That's Babel. That's confusion. Proverbs 16:18, pride goes before the fall, destruction, smush. And names like Stalin and Pol Pot ring with infamy with all of us. But as I was doing my regular Bible reading, I was reading Luke chapter 10. And God struck me with the idea of someone making a name for themselves. Here's what I read in Luke chapter 10. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others. Some manuscripts will say, and some translations will say 72. It's not certain. So it was 70 or 72. And the Lord sent them out ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he told them, "The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Now go. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. And I'm going to jump to the 17th verse where they return. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Had Jesus been out to make a name for himself? But in his name, the demons left. They were afraid of his name. And Jesus said to the 70, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a lightning flash. Look, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will ever harm you. Now, I want you to try and put yourself in among the 70 for a moment. You've just been out telling people about the kingdom of God, and you have seen people with demons suddenly restored. Because you spoke the name of Jesus. What's your opinion of Jesus right now? Your whole vocabulary might be reduced to wow. Now you go back to Jesus and say, Jesus, it's amazing. Demons are subject to your name. We speak your name. They skedaddle. And Jesus says, you think that's great? I'm giving you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. You people walk barefoot all the time. Serpents and scorpions can be a problem if you're barefoot. But I'm giving you authority over that. You can walk on them. And over all the power of the enemy. And nothing will ever harm you. How are you feeling right now? Maybe a little, a little empowered. Whoa, I didn't sign up for this. This is great. And Jesus says, let me tell you. That's nothing. Verse 20. However, don't rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Does that almost seem anticlimactic? Look at what Jesus did long before. He's in Capernaum teaching, and the roof gives way, and down comes a guy on a stretcher being lowered by four friends. And Jesus looks at this crippled man and says, your sins are forgiven. What are you doing? You can see that his real need is to be healed, Jesus. Why are you dealing with something as unimportant as that? You know what I'm doing, don't you? You can see, your sarcasm meter just went off the scale. How excited would you be if you saw a miraculous healing? How excited would you be if someone came to Jesus Christ? How does it compare? We've got our eyes on the wrong priorities sometimes. I mean, deep down in your gut, you feel that. We think that in order to make a name for our church, we try that, we're going to be in trouble, aren't we? History tells us we better not do it. But God does give you a way to make a name for yourself. And Mike just read it. If you offer yourself to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted one, then your light will shine in the darkness and your night will be like noonday. The Lord will always lead you and satisfy you in a parched land and strengthen your bones. You will be like a watered garden and like a spring whose waters never run dry. And some of you will repair and rebuild the ancient ruins You will restore the foundations laid long ago. And if you want a name for yourself, here it is. You will be called the repairer of broken walls and restorer of streets where people live. God says, I'll give you a name. If you will, extend yourself to the poor. Now, the neat thing about this passage, and I love how Mike read it, but think for a moment. Suppose you take this to the street. And it's almost as if, as I was reading it, and I was hearing Mike read it, it's almost like I heard God saying, is the purpose of your fasting to bow your head like a reed? Something like that. You think I want your money just to put you down? Do you think that's what this is about? Do you think I'm just trying to reach into your wallet? It's as if God were saying, do you think for one picosecond that I couldn't feed the hungry if I wanted to? I want to let you in. I want you in on the big game, on the big work that I'm doing. I'm doing this work. You want in? You want to be a part of it? How do you feel when I can show a video here of people in Nepal loading trucks with tons of rice that you have helped to provide? How do you like the feeling that every time the newspaper tells you about an earthquake or a flood or a disaster or a hunger situation, you can say, I have people that I'm associated with who have boots on the ground and food in the truck. All because of what you're going to do today. You've seen what you did last year. What are you going to do this year? I have no idea. And between you and me, I hope it's not needed. Wouldn't that be great? I hope we can eliminate this problem. I hope they get rain in East Africa. I hope that ISIS, frankly, comes to Jesus. Now, folks, someone ought to tell the present administration and any future administration, no matter who is sitting in the big chair, that your bombs are not going to stop ISIS. You're only going to fuel the fire. Jesus Christ is the only one who can bring peace to this world. And when we want to help the hungry in His name, what are we doing? We're striving to bring peace to the world in the name of the one who can bring that peace. Yes, in the name. The name that is above every name. The one who, existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to use to his own advantage. But instead, he emptied himself. We're going to empty cans. You think that's something? You think that's impressive? He emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave and taking on the likeness of men. And when he had come as a man, in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. Even death on a cross. Think of the progression here. God became a baby in the manger. That's impressive. No. Wait. He became a slave. Not just a man, a slave. Wow, that's impressive. That's not impressive. He became a slave who humbled himself to the point of death. Wow. No. That's nothing. It was the death of a cross, nailed naked to a piece of wood. Blows the mind. It ought to. Once again, shouldn't we be amazed at our salvation? Shouldn't every thought of our salvation make us shake our heads? No, that can't be. It can't be that great. It is. And because he did that, he rose from the dead, and for this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And the world hunger offering and what we're going to do today is all about communicating Jesus to people in need. Didn't Jesus feed hungry people? You bet he did. Did Jesus encourage us to care for the poor? You bet he did. Did the church have a history of saying to their missionaries, make sure that as you go, you care for the poor? Of course they did. And has the church neglected this? You know, I can actually say the church has done pretty well. It's one of those things I can tell the atheists, if we quit living like Christians, are you ready to pick up the slack? I have had the hardest-nosed atheists I know admit there is no way we could do the tenth part of what you guys are already doing. We have a great system for doing this. Now, let's have a great outpouring to put into it. I've shared before, the average Southern Baptist gives a dollar, less than a dollar. We are going to change that average. We are going to call that attitude sin, and we are going to repent of that sin. And by that, the Bible says, you will have a name of blessing. Not a name for yourself. Think of those 70 disciples. 70 followers of Jesus. If you are a real good Bible student, real good, you could probably name 12 of them. How many of you think you could get all 12? Do you know there were probably two more because, remember, Matthias was chosen and there was the other guy. Anyone know the other guy's name was Barsabbas? Not Barnabas, but Barsabbas. So there's 14, which means we've got 56 to go, whose names are written in heaven, and you don't know who they are, neither do I, nobody does, except Jesus. Do you want your name beside theirs? I'm on that book by the grace of God. Not by anything I've done. A name of blessing is what comes to those who are willing to be ordinary people and just give of themselves on behalf of those who are poor. And that's what we're about.